And we are joined now by Bill Rabinowitz, who covers the Ohio State Buckeyes for the Columbus Dispatch. Bill, we appreciate you joining us and just want to get your overall impression on the Buckeyes being ranked fifth in the opening coaches poll.
Yeah, that's really a testament to a couple things. One is Urban Meyer, and secondly, it's the young, if not yet proven, talent that they have. They definitely have a lot of talent on the roster, but very little of it is proven. They only have 37 players who've earned letters. So you're talking about six returning starters, which means you have 16 new starters. And it'll be interesting to see how that happens, how that develops, and how everyone meshes together.
Yeah, and I didn't know the numbers were quite as drastic as six returning starters, 16 new ones. But if you were to focus on a new name or two who we as college football fans might not be familiar with right now, but you think we certainly will be halfway through the season.
I think on offense, the guy, probably the two guys I would mention are running back Mike Weber, who's going to take over for Ezekiel Elliott, and wide receiver Noah Brown, who broke his leg last year at the end of training camp, and they really missed him. Even with all the weapons they had last year, Michael Thomas and Braxton Miller and all those guys, they really did miss having that kind of second reliable receiver to take some pressure off of Michael Thomas, because, again, Braxton Miller was adapting to that position. As far as Weber goes, he's a very highly recruited guy out of Michigan, of all places, so there's that factor. His start at Ohio State got off to a little bit of a strange start when Stan Drayton, the running backs coach who had recruited him, left the day after signing day in 2015, and so it was a little shaky for a while. And then Mike Weber hurt his knee in training camp last year. Now, he wouldn't have played much anyway behind Elliott, but this season he ended up redshirting last year. But they really like him. He's got a low center of gravity. He's very shifty. Got power, got speed. They feel very good about that position, about him at that position, being able to take over. So those are two of the guys. But as far as wide receivers go, there are a bunch of guys that are just waiting for their chance. And they had it to some degree last year, and they didn't take advantage of it. This year, they're going to have to. They don't have any other options.
Who's going to be the star on defense this year for the Buckeyes?
Well, the guy most people are pointing to is middle linebacker Raekwon McMillan, and he's a junior. He's going to be a captain. He's expected to have an All-American type of year. He's a five-star guy. I think he's been solid. I don't know if he's been spectacular, but he's been solid for Ohio State. He has to take that next leap for them to really be the kind of defense they need to be. Tyquan Lewis, as a defensive end, had a really good year last year playing opposite Joey Bosa, and there's some people who think that he had a big season because obviously teams were especially focused on Joey Bosa. But Tyquan Lewis is a very talented guy, as is Sam Hubbard, who will take over for Bosa. He was a former lacrosse player in high school, started as a safety at Ohio State, and then has bulked up, and he's really going to be a special player, I think. And there are a lot of other guys. You look at that roster, you go, yeah, they're not proven, but they really should be good. Dante Booker as a linebacker is a name to watch. Gary and Conley is the only returning starter in the secondary. It'll be interesting to see. And I think the hardest thing Ohio State's coaches have to do is figure out, okay, who are the starters? Because there's not going to be a lot of separation between the first and second team.
This 2016 Ohio State team is exactly why college football is far more difficult, in my opinion, to predict than the NFL, because as you touched on, the 16 new starters, and you mentioned a number of names, guys that can step up and fill those roles, and they are highly talented guys. I mean, who was going to get reps playing behind Ezekiel Elliott, you know, the fourth pick in the draft? So that next guy up can, in fact, be very talented. Whereas, you know, if you look at the Green Bay Packers, for instance, you know Rodgers is good, you know Matthews is good. There are a number of names that you know, and the turnover in college football so much higher. Bill Rabinowitz checking in with us right now. He covers Ohio State for the Columbus Dispatch. I'm Lewis Woodard. This is Night Moves on SB Nation Radio. And, Bill, when you take a look at their schedule, a lot of teams this year, or a lot of teams in general, like to lead off their non-conference schedule with the marquee name, whether it's North Carolina and Georgia, whether it's Alabama and SoCal. It looks like the biggest game on Ohio State's non-conference schedule comes third with Oklahoma, but the first two names, Bowling Green and Tulsa, do you foresee either one of those teams presenting much of a challenge?
I think Bowling Green could, because Bowling Green is picked to win their division in the MAC. They've traditionally been a good program. They've got a new coach this year, but they've been a good program. And Ohio State's going to have all these guys that are breaking in, and how they adapt to the pressure, how they respond to the pressure of playing in the Horseshoe for the first time. That'll be an interesting game. Ohio State hasn't lost to an Ohio team in forever. And so there'll be a lot of pressure on Ohio State not to be challenged in that game. But I think Bowling Green could give them some difficulty. I'm not saying they're going to lose to Bowling Green, but it's not a typical Ohio State versus MAC team that you just know is going to be a blowout or expect to be a blowout. In fact, their games last year against MAC teams, against Northern Illinois and Western Michigan, were not blowouts. So that could be interesting. But again, Oklahoma is the marquee game, and going to Norman and only the third game of the year, that's going to be obviously a very, very tough game. If they can go there and win that game, then all the optimism that people have about this team will certainly be justified.
For sure. Now, JT Barrett, we haven't touched on him yet in this conversation, about as experienced a quarterback as you can find in the country returning to a college football team this year. Do you get the sense that he's a little more comfortable not having the other talented quarterbacks on roster?
No question. I mean, I think he likes Cardale Jones. They got along well, but it's still very difficult when you don't have a clear-cut starter, and that showed last year when neither guy really took control. And I think that as a quarterback, you just have to know that you're the guy. And JT Barrett is a natural leader. He's done it before. This is clearly his team, certainly his offense. And I think that he should blossom. And Ohio State will go as far as JT Barrett can take him.
Now, Ohio State, just looking at the polls, is the highest-ranked team in the Big Ten right now. Who in the Big Ten do you think is Ohio State's top challenger for that conference crown?
Well, this year I think you have to say it's Michigan, because Jim Harbaugh's got that program back on the map. they're talented, they're hungry. That's gonna be a great game, last game of the year. And of course, you can't obviously overlook Michigan State. That's really been Ohio State's significant rival the last several years, because each team has ruined the other team's great season, and so. Those two teams are certainly – the Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, those three teams are clearly the best teams in the league. And I think Penn State is the big year for James Franklin. He's been there long enough, and the sanctions have been lifted. They've replenished their roster, so they need to take that step. And for the other programs in the division, at least, it's going to be – this is about rebuilding and about trying to establish a foundation, really.
Yeah, the Big Ten very lopsided, with all of the better programs right now being in the East, and Iowa certainly had a nice season last year coming out of the West, but often it's hard to figure out, okay, is that because they're actually in the West? It's really hard to figure out sometimes with these mismatched conferences. You look at the SEC West and the SEC East and so on. Is there a team in the West that you think should deserve a lot of respect heading into the season?
Well, Iowa deserves it from last year. They didn't play the big teams in the Big Ten, but I think that the fact that they took Michigan State to the wire, and Michigan State had to have that monster last drive to win the Big Ten championship, earned Iowa a lot of respect. But Iowa's kind of a funny program in that they tend to do well when not much is expected of them, and then they seem to falter when expectations are high. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them this year. I think Nebraska and Wisconsin and Northwestern certainly have a chance to make a run at that division, but I don't think any of the teams in that division are as good as the top three in the East.
All right, guys. Once again, we are speaking with Bill Rabinowitz, who covers Ohio State football for the Columbus Dispatch. You guys can read his work there. You can check him out on Twitter at BRD. All right, I got to do that again.
BR Dispatch.
Yeah. Or you can check him out on Twitter at BR Dispatch. Bill, thank you so much for the assist there. Appreciate it, man.
No problem. Thanks, Louis.